Good afternoon. This is Ken Unger, the founder and top trainer at the APFA for all Academy members. I'm very fortunate today. I've got Bob Keebler, CPA, MST, and founder of Keebler and Associates with me. And today's topic is one that I think every financial advisor should be at least interested in and listening to, and that's talking about what's going on with this new SECURE Act, setting every community up for Retirement Enhancement Act that is set to pass the House and hopefully go on to the Senate and be signed by the President. Bob, are you with me?
Well, good day, everyone. And Ken, thank you so much for inviting me today. What just happened is the House of Representatives passed the SECURE bill, and it's going to mean major changes for your clients. There are three things, there are hundreds of things in the bill, but the three things that we should pay the most immediate attention to are: after reaching your required beginning date, you're allowed to continue to make IRA contributions. Two is the required beginning date, which historically has been April 1st following the year you turn 70 and a half, is going to change to age 72. And I'm sure there'll be pages of regulations that define what age 72 means. And then finally, the most important part of the bill is if you die with an IRA and you leave that IRA to anyone other than certain specified beneficiaries, the money is going to have to come out of that IRA over a very short 10-year period of time. Keep in mind, today we can use life expectancy distributions. So current law allows us life expectancy. Under the proposal, the money would have to come out within 10 years. Now, there are exceptions to this. If it goes to your surviving spouse, he or she can do a rollover. If it goes to children that are under the age of majority, they can use their life expectancy until they reach majority, and then within 10 years after that, the money has to come out of the IRA. Disabled and chronically ill individuals will be able to use their life expectancies. And then also an individual not more than 10 years younger than the employee will also be able to use their life expectancy. So if, for example, in that example, if I left my IRA to my little brother who's 5 years younger than me, then what would transpire is that he would be able to use his life expectancy. Just like if somebody was disabled or chronically ill, they could use their life expectancy. So these things all become very important. But what's really important is for a good 80% of your clients, they are going to be up against a 10-year rule. And so let's put our energy onto that 10-year rule. The first thing we have to understand is that for years, I've shared with you that there are two ways to draft an IRA trust: the conduit trust and the accumulation trust. In the conduit trust, each year, all the required minimum distributions go from the IRA to the trust to the beneficiary. Really a very easy vantage point. Where we are now, though, is if we have a 10-year rule, at the end of the 10th year, when a very large lump sum distribution would go from the IRA to the trust to the beneficiary, that large lump sum distribution is going to have to be immediately paid to the beneficiary. And it's going to create a very awkward situation, a very bad situation for some families, because they put property in trust for those beneficiaries in the first place, and they were hoping that would be in trust for many, many years. And now what's transpiring is all that money would have to come out over a 10-year period of time. The conduit trust wouldn't be anywhere nearly as powerful. Now, if you have that, you're going to have to either reform or decant that trust if the person's already died after January 1st, 2020, or after December 31st, 2019, I should say. That's the effective date of this legislation. Now, the solutions to analyze, let's spend a few minutes on how are we going to approach this. When someone says to you, what do I do about this 10-year rule, you're going to walk them through a number of possibilities. One is you and your clients could study and determine the right level of Roth conversions between now and when they die, with the goal being to get those IRAs taxed right now at today's rates in a way you can manage that rather than waiting until they die. Now, this also plays into the sunset of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, because rates will go up when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act sunsets. We can talk about using multi-generational spray trusts. I die, my IRA goes to a trust for my children and grandchildren, and we sprinkle the dollars from that trust across children and grandchildren to get a better income tax result, to get some of that money taxed at a 10 or 12% bracket. Because remember, IRA distributions are not subject to the KITI tax. There's also fiscal year planning, very complicated, but CPAs could elect to use fiscal years, which might be very helpful. And then there's the whole idea of spousal rollovers. I die, my IRA goes to my wife, my wife rolls that over. That's not necessarily the smartest thing to do anymore. The smarter thing to do may be to have my wife disclaim part of that, where then it would go to our children over a period of 10 years, from me to our children over 10 years, and then at my wife's death, find another 10-year period of time. If my wife and I die 9 years apart, of course, that's 19 years of total distributions. We're spreading that income across many, many tax brackets and tax returns. IRAs could be left to charitable remainder trusts, very powerful in doing three things: deferral, ordinary income bracket management, and after you've burned up the original value of the IRA, then you can get into a different situation where some of that income is going to turn into long-term capital gain. That can become very powerful. Another very powerful thing to think about is IRA trusts for state income tax savings. All we're talking about there is your client is a resident of Indiana. She sets up a trust in Nevada to receive her IRA. When she dies, the IRA goes to the Nevada trust. Nevada does not have an income tax, and Indiana law would not allow the Indiana Department of Revenue to tax that income. So at the end of the day, at the end of the 10th year, when all the money would be required to be distributed, if it goes to the trust and it's retained in the trust, doesn't go out to Indiana beneficiaries, it's not going to be subject to Indiana income tax. On a $1 million or $2 million IRA, this savings can be very powerful. We also want to learn more about using life insurance and the whole IRA relocation strategy. I've taught that before for the American Academy, and what we're finding out is, in a very powerful way, is it works. If you're in a state where there's a state estate tax, you can get that money and you can relocate that money from your IRA to an irrevocable life insurance trust, and they have it not be subject to estate tax. Also, if you have a very large estate and you're subject to federal estate tax, same thing. You're going to get that money out of the way of the transfer tax system. Finally, last 2 points. Some clients who have very large estates and where the IRA is less than 10% of the estate, they, rather than trying to thread this needle, they may want to just leave their IRA to their favorite charity. We should also think about during lifetime whether clients should be using QCDs, qualified charitable distributions, to have money not come out and increase their tax rate, but have money go directly to charity, fulfilling their charitable goals, and simultaneously doing Roth conversions on top of that to fill up those lower tax brackets. We've talked about a lot. Hopefully today's class is a bit of a call to action where we look at what should we be doing to help our clients better understand the secure bill and the 10-year rule. Ken, it's always an honor to be here with you.
Well, Bob, I appreciate that. And I just want to give everybody on our call just a quick synopsis and understand The Secure Bill, setting every community up for retirement enhancement, has, as Bob discussed, it has passed the House. Next steps are Senate and signed by the President to become law. But basically, while there's hundreds of provisions, including allowing unrelated employers to pool employer plans, we're focusing on a handful of things today that advisors need to know. Number one, it'll probably increase the RMD age, as Bob said. They're looking at 70 to 72 mechanics. You know, is it the April following you turn 72? All the mechanics to be determined, which we'll get to you folks once that is determined. But we're looking at, instead of 70 and a half, 72, probably another 18-month extension, so to speak, because Americans are living longer. Second, allowing someone over 70 and now to continue with earned income to contribute to an IRA. So basically, if you've got someone over the age of 70 who's continuing to generate earned income, they can continue to increase their amounts that they're putting in IRAs. And more importantly, a provision in this bill would force the distribution, as Bob said, of a retirement account within 10 years for most non-spouse beneficiaries. And so that stretch IRA as we knew it, that maximize your tax savings through that strategy called the stretch IRA, which allowed younger beneficiaries like children or grandchildren to take distributions over their lifetime, is probably not going to be available anymore. Now we're looking at a distribution of the account's value. As Bob said, there's ways to play with it with husband and spouse, but we're looking at, for most people, a 10-year plan. As Bob said, this is going to cause us to look at proactive tax planning. Some things we should be familiar with are, first and foremost, should you convert to a Roth IRA, partial or full, a strategy for that? And that's basically taking a look at the bracket of the owner versus the bracket of the beneficiary. As Bob said, if you can, the younger the beneficiary, the better, because younger people are usually, especially like a 9-year-old, is not likely to be in the maximum tax bracket that possibly the IRA holder is in. If the IRA holder is in a low tax bracket, then, or can fill up brackets, then it's better to start doing partial or full Roth conversions for the IRA holder. Another thing that we should be thinking about and always thinking about, which was in place before this, are direct giving to QCDs. If you're over 70, a QCD is a tax-savvy strategy that allows you to directly give your RMD or whatever you'd like to a charity and not count it as taxable income. Finally, as Bob reminded us and taught us at our class and at our session, charitable remainder trusts are also another alternative for investors to consider, where they can leave some assets to a charitable organization and also have a beneficiary get a stream of income from those assets for a specified time span. So, you know, there's a couple of things for us to think about. This bill provides opportunities for us, as Bob said, to talk with our clients and discuss with our clients and let clients know that some changes are coming, specifically RMD age, the fact that you can contribute to IRAs at older ages, and the fact that stretch IRAs are no longer going to really be a mainstream availability, opens the opportunity for us to talk with people, offer them specific suggestions and strategies, and really have meaningful conversations that other advisors aren't having. Bob, unless you've got anything else, I think that pretty much wraps it up. I know we'll have more on this, and we'll continue to update people as things go through. Anything else for right now, Bob?
Ken, just one little point. While you were doing that wonderful summary, I received an email that the Senate might actually vote on this today.
So the Senate might vote on this today. I want everybody to memorize. We talk about scripting at APFA. Three words. My goal is to optimize Roth conversions. Agreed, Bob? We've got to consider.
I think there's so much here. Those are the talking points. I mean, Roth conversions is going to be a big part of this. So there's the question is, strategically, what do I do between now and when I die? and what should I put in place so when I die, we get the best tax result?
Right. And as Bob and I always like to say, one of your goals is to find the most efficient way to offer tax advantages, proactive tax preparation, proactive tax planning. Require someone to optimize, if possible, the use of Roth conversions right now. We love offering you folks strategies and suggestions. As Bob said, this is probably going to become law. We appreciate this opportunity. You'll be hearing more from us in the future. Bob, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Ken.
On behalf of the APFA, we appreciate your membership and look forward to talking with you soon.